What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 70 of the Gamecast.
Oh, my God. We're
making strides out there, man. We're you know what I'm saying? Doing the thing. So shout out to everybody who's been with us since day one. Hopefully you've seen the improvement that we've evolved up into this point, and we're going to continue to improve. Before we go into our main show, though, we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what we've been watching, what we've been doing this week, like we normally do. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've been watching or rewatching for like the 100th time, Cowboy Bebop, because, you know, the new Cowboy Bebop show is coming to Netflix.
Yeah.
And since I, you know, got my, actually, I own Cowboy Bebop, but I was watching it on Hulu.
Me too.
Because I bought, so the one that I bought was the sub version, but mm-hmm. I've always heard the dubbed because when I first started watching it, it was on Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just sounds right to me, even though the sub is better. So I've been watching on Hulu, and it holds up really well.
Over time.
Yeah. The animation is great. The music is always dope. Like mm-hmm. I think the outro is one of my favorite outros of all time.
Which one? Real Folk Blues or the Real Folk Blues, right?
Yeah, Real Folk Blues, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great. Like, I would
Real
like to hear the whole
Folk
song.
Blues.
Yes.
I forgot amazing. The Japanese words. I used to know them. I literally used to know all the words. I used to sing that song all the time.
It is great. I recommend a rewatch.
I own all the music.
Oh, fire. See, I need to get the soundtrack. I bought
it years ago. I bought it in like, I don't know, the year 2005 or something. It's a 4-disc compilation set of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I own it. It's somewhere in my bookcase.
That's dope. Shout out to the Seatbelts.
I know, man.
The great job. And shout out to the, I forgot who wrote it.
Yoko?
No. It was a person, I was reading an article
mm-hmm.
about, it's the homie Ash. Shout out to Ash. She wrote that, I think it was Ash. I can't be sure, but basically they were talking about the music and what's good and what isn't or mm-hmm. what's better, because all the music in Cowboy Bebop is good. Mm-hmm. And I remember someone writing that, you know, Cowboy Bebop can't get away from the opening theme and how it's great. But in all of Netflix's advertisement is that song. When mm-hmm. there's other songs that slap really, really well.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, it was one of those shows that made people think that they liked jazz when they really didn't. And I'm like,
right,
you know what?
Right.
You know what? I can't even be mad at that. Because I did not, I started liking jazz a lot later, thanks to my wife. But mm-hmm. I really liked all of the music in Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo. It mm-hmm. it's just really good. Like,
yeah.
Forget what genre it is. It's good.
It's just good music. So rest in peace, Nujabes.
Yes.
But
it was like, because you know, a lot of anime will replay, and Cowboy Bebop does this too, where they replay songs that are like thematical or whatever, mm-hmm. when action segments or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Cowboy Bebop also has music that is only played during like one episode. Like it'll have like special episode music. Mm-hmm. That's only played for that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Like, even the stuff that they don't come back to is amazing.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. I mean, Yoko Kano is talented as hell. I can't get over her what do you call it? Her resume is impeccable. I'm quoting T.I. Can't believe I did that. But she's really, really good, and the music that she composes is pretty freaking awesome. So I love that soundtrack.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I'm glad that they are back for the Netflix live action show, mm-hmm. which just makes it more like I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, you know, what's happening. And also, if you haven't seen Cowboy Bebop and you don't have Hulu, you can also check it out on Netflix, because Netflix is going to be started streaming the original anime on the 21st of October. So last month, they actually started streaming it. And what's dope about that is they also are streaming the 26th episode.
Yay.
Because, you know, like before, it's if you've watched the anime, it only goes to 25, like the American version only mm-hmm. goes to 25 because, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but essentially there's an extra episode that was aired in Japan, I believe. And actually, it's an extra episode to kind of let you know what's the future of these characters, you know, after the credits sort of a thing. And I believe Netflix got that one as well. So that's really dope. Shout out to Netflix for that. But yeah, so I definitely recommend checking it out. I don't think you should necessarily compare too much to the live action just because you might spoil it. I don't think the live action is going to live up to the anime, but I think it's not trying. I think it's trying to mm-hmm. be respectful. And the fact that it has the you know, original people who worked on, you know, as many people as possible that worked on mm-hmm. the anime back, they're also trying to do their own thing. And that was evident within the trailer that Netflix released. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do their own thing. So don't, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Don't just try to enjoy it for what it is. If it's trash, it's trash. But if it's good, but it's not exactly the anime, that's okay. I will say though, they need to find, because in all through the trailers, we didn't see Ed, and I'm a little upset about that.
Some things. I try not to read, because a lot of the stuff that I end up reading is from websites that I don't want to say that they're not reputable, but I don't know where they're getting their information from. They're, every time I like read something, it sounds like, you know, me having a conversation with a friend. Like, where did you hear this again? and so that's why I'm like, because sometimes when it comes to anime stuff, like stuff that is anime based and then ends up becoming something, there's not a lot of information. There's not. Like there's, because they don't leak that well. Okay. These people have, they're good at holding their stuff in, because it's not like Marvel where people are cracking server. Oh, I shouldn't say cracking Marvel servers, cracking Fox servers. Okay.
Right.
And stealing stuff. Like that's not happening here. But yeah, I heard a bunch of different things concerning Ed. And and I'm just kind of like, you know what? We'll know when we see it. And that's about it.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I hope it's, at the very least, I hope it's one of those things where they're like, you know, we're doing a second season and then Ed mm-hmm. pops up, you know, something along those lines.
They might be keeping it like, you know how the way Ed popped up in the show in general, right. And you know how even in the opening, like Ed really kind of shows up with her wobbly arms.
Right.
In the opening number, it's not really like you're like, oh, and then shows up in when they're doing the, what do you call it, shadow boxing or something right. of them. And so I don't know if they're kind of keeping it like the way they did in the series where she kind of didn't show up until a certain episode.
That could be the case.
It could be the case. And I don't mind that at all, because that is actually very characteristic of animes.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I'm fine with that, and at least something gets to keep under wraps. I mean, there's stuff that we've seen in the previews where it's like, you know, all the fans are like, oh, well, this is different, or this is different, or this is different. You know, they're already on all kinds of stuff. So, you know, if we find out that a boy is playing Ed, you know, so I'm saying like people might have a lot of opinions, because like there's a lot of talk on the internet about what's actually going on with Ed. And I'm like, you know what? Don't ruin it for me, internet.
There. Right.
Like, right. just stop talking and we'll see it. I'll see it when I see it. Okay. And if I'm with it, then I'm with it. If I'm not with it, I'll have something to say and we can talk all night about it then, because look, just make Ed the same Ed that when Ed's dad pops up, we feel it. Okay. Right. That's what
we need the feels. But I will say what's promising outside of the, you know, even the casting and things of that nature, was some of the shots that they showed was pulled directly from the anime. There's mm-hmm. and yeah. not even like little minute things. Like there's a scene early on where you see a bunch of guys playing cards, and they're exactly the same way they are in the anime. But these guys are not important, like at all. They're just like background. But they're dressed the exact same way. It's really cool the amount of detail that they put into certain scenes. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, even I don't necessarily want a one-to-one of the show because that's only going to make me compare it more. I kind of mm-hmm. want it to be almost like a reimagining of the show. Mm-hmm. So certain beats, sure, you know, Spike versus Vicious. Like, yeah, cool. Oh,
I can't wait for Vicious.
Right? But at the same time. Yeah, but at the same time, no tingles here, but at the same time, I want to be a little bit different. And I think that's what they're kind of going for. There's a couple of shots that they did where I'm like, that's totally not in the anime and I'm for it. So, you know, here's hoping that it's pretty dope when it comes out. It comes out, I want to say in a few weeks, I believe. There's a lot of content actually dropping in November. We're going to be talking about for a while, but whether you're on Netflix or Disney Plus, just a ton of stuff coming. And I'm guessing it's because of the holidays, like people are going to be mostly home and watching stuff. Huh. I guess that they all tried to get everything to happen at the same time. Like even, Shang-Chi is going to be on Disney Plus, in a few weeks. In November. Great. So all of it. And it's good. It's very good. It's good.
I'm so excited because I'm waiting for that before I watch Black Widow because I don't want to like be disappointed and then like have to wait for something. So I'm going to, yeah, I want to watch them back to back. So then I'll end happily.
Black Widow was good though. I still feel like they didn't do her justice with the way they kind of ended. And even like afterwards, like just in terms of like a send off for a character, it could have been better. And there was a certain thing that they did that they changed when it came to the villain that totally makes sense for this world, but I can understand if people are upset because you have to look at it like the MCU is like another dimension, similar to like when you have the comic books and you have like that Iron Man or like what we were watching, the What If, where there's different versions. You got to look at it like that. If you look at it like this is going to be exactly like the original comic, first of all, that comic has multiple versions of everything anyways, but you're just not going to be happy. You know, Iron Man 3, I think, is the biggest one for me, where a lot of certain characters weren't who they were, but Iron Man 3 was a good film. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm just like, okay.
It's funny, I rewatched it, right?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, like when I went through my Marvel binge a few weeks ago, because it was making me happy, and I decided just, I went all through all the Marvel movies, and I watched Iron Man 3 again. And mind you, I used to hate Iron Man 3. I thought it was a bad movie. And I watched it again, and I was like, why did I dislike this movie? Like, and there were things that I used to love about it. Like, I actually really, really, really felt the whole, like, Tony having panic attacks and stuff. Like,
that was perfect.
Yeah, and I understood it. And I think at the time when I was watching it, I was just like, there's a lot going on in this movie. And why is Pepper a superhero? Like, but again, I watched it again. And it's not that I'm in an altered, depressed state where anything makes me happy. I actually, with my kind of broken brain that's still in healing process, I actually liked it. And all of the things that it actually set up, and it made perfect sense. It really, really did. And I think that it did so much proper foreshadowing for Tony. It was a whole movie, and the Iron Man franchise really, really, we really got to be thankful. We have to be thankful for the Iron Man franchise. It gave us the entire MCU. Like, it gave us what we have today. It gave me Loki.
I was waiting for that.
I was waiting.
I was like, she's gonna pull Loki in a second. Hold up. Just wait for it. Just wait.
It gave me Tom. So, you know, it's not the first movie that gave me Tom. I mean, like, I need to get over that. But that's not the point. The point is, I did actually have a Marvel binge a few weeks ago. I may have mentioned this past week. It's been a Disney musical. Well, not musical, but the animated Disney musicals. Mostly Hunchback of Notre Dame, because that's possibly my favorite.
Musically, it's one of those. It's one of those ones.
It's definitely. Like,
It's not for kids, though, but it's definitely one of those ones.
How did it get away with it? Like, we could have a whole cast on this, and we won't go into it because we have an amazing topic today. But how did it get a G rating? I'm just asking for the PG. Like, I know why we didn't go over the edge with the PG-13, because I did find out that the writers were actually going to have Esmeralda kill Judge Frollo.
Yeah.
And they took that out because they knew it would push it into a PG-13 rating. But how did it not get a PG rating? Like, come on. I don't know how we get off with the villain literally sniffing the gypsy's hair.
Yeah.
Because this, honestly, the other stuff wasn't that bad. Like, Hellfire is literally my favorite song. Okay, it is. I love Hellfire. Is absolutely my favorite song in Hunchback of Notre Dame because it's so brilliant. It's one of the best written. Like, every word means something. Every stanza has deeper meaning than what's being said. And I'm like, this was just so well done. So we don't have to go into Hunchback today, but I could go on about it because it musically and just it is actually one of my favorites. Sometimes I have to like really juggle that with Hercules because I love it. Totally different vibes, right? Totally different vibes.
That's way more G.
It's way more G, but still it has all of the adult jokes in it. Like jokes that only adults would get. It's not like adult content, but it's like adult jokes. Whereas,
right.
Hunchback it's just older than children. Like, yes, children should be introduced to stories where where they're like, wow, that's a bad person. Cause they need to understand this kind of stuff, that there are bad people in the world and they do bad things. And that people suffer, and that we should do whatever we can to love and assist people and call out injustice when it occurs. And I think that that is perfect. Like, children need to understand that. But man, if my kid, which I have none, but if my kid was like, hey, mommy, why was he sniffing her hair like that? And you know, sniffing her scarf. I'll be like, okay, so when a gross man loves a woman he can't have, he does that.
Yeah, like how do you even, man? Shoot, yeah. There's a lot of them we have to have conversations about when we watch, which is why we try to, screen, because like it's, you forget about it. Like watching as a kid and watching it now, your mind is a little bit more attuned to what the potential of what could be shown and what messages people can kind of get from this stuff. Like talking about, I know we talked about this, a bunch of podcasts ago about The Little Mermaid and how it's so many effed up messages in that film.
Oh my
that
God.
Having our kid, allowing our kids to watch it, like, look, we need to talk. Like, let's talk. Because she's doing some goofy stuff.
She's a hot mess. And man, Ursula.
Mess and a half. Almost got everybody killed over someone you met Tuesday. Anyways.
Children today. Speaking of, I just watched Romeo and Juliet. Children.
Oh my goodness. Like.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anywho. Today's cast. Today's our we're going to be talking about Insecure. The last season is upon us. It's here. And we've been watching, and because we were gone last week, some things came up. We're actually going to be talking about episode 1 and 2, and we're going to be spoiling some things. So if you haven't started watching, which makes no sense because if you're a fan, you probably would have started watching, or at the very least, you aren't going to start watching this season. You're going to start at the first season. So yeah, spoiler warning, but for everybody else, relax and listen.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. As we break down episode 1 and 2 of this season of Insecure. Starting with episode 1, fam, it's pretty dope to see a reality of Issa and Molly's relationship and how the steps that it's taken to kind of rebuild it,
mm-hmm.
and how it's not just a quick, because it's real easy to do. And I know we're going to get to the time jump in a sec, but
mm-hmm.
how easy it is to kind of just kind of like wave your hand and everything is fine. Everybody's talking, everybody's mm-hmm. cool. Or to go the opposite where they just hate each other. Like there's just beef the whole, you know, season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better thing to actually see them working it out. And there's some awkwardness to it. There's, mm-hmm. you know, them, you know, Molly asking a friend, like, so how long did it take for you and such to get back together? And, you know, will we ever be fine? And, you mm-hmm. know, also trying to be there to support her friend, even mm-hmm. though things are kind of, you know, still up in the air with them in terms of friendship. And mm-hmm. so that was really dope from the onset of the mm-hmm. episode and carried on, you know, through the rest of the episode. And that kind of cut or is just opposed to Kelly and mm-hmm. how everyone thinks she's dead when they go to their reunion or, you know, back to their old college stomping grounds.
So funny.
And how, you know, the reality of how people potentially view her.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one had anything. I mean, they had, I guess you could say, nice things to say in terms of like acknowledging, you know, her passing, even though she didn't die. But then also it being a bunch of jokes, like, you know, she was always good for a laugh, or she was always, and like at first she thought it was funny, and then she kind of was like, oh, that's how people see me, like I'm just here to, I'm a joke to you, like,
yeah,
you know, like on some Goodfellas, like, am I a joke to you, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so it was really interesting to have those, that dynamic between people who are trying to be serious and trying to repair things.
Yeah.
Issa trying to, you know, in her maturing, recognizing how things might could go left or right with her new ventures. Molly trying to be a supportive friend. And then Kelly, who was like, you know, F all you guys, because you're treating me like this is a joke. Like, people think I'm dead and this is the best they can say.
Yeah.
So it's just the onset of that at the beginning and, you know, throughout the episode was really, really great, I think.
Yeah, I thought that it was a good episode. It was a great way to kind of get back in. It wasn't like this episode where it wasn't like, you know, some seasons, maybe final season, first episode where it's just like big, big, you know, right. like major stuff happens. It sets up the whole season. I mean, yeah, like a major thing does happen, which we'll get into. But it wasn't, it happened at the end. It was 20 seconds of the yeah. end of the show. And it's like, oh, snap. I mean, Game of Thrones did do that in the first season, because that first episode was like boring up until, you know, kid gets thrown out a window. So, I mean, you know, they were kind of doing the same thing, dropping right. the, yeah, I don't want to be with you type shit.
Wow. Around the kid, too. They just...
just
that's terrible. HBO, you have a trend.
Seriously, they probably call all of their creators and be like, this is what we need to happen in the first episode of every season of every show, or it just has to happen like this. that's so real. Rude. So I really did it. Of course, I enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy every episode no matter what. I think I've programmed my brain because, you know, last season we did a lot of complaining, which was well deserved. Okay.
It was warranted.
And I stand by my complaints, but, you know, we know that this is the end. And so we're going to show up and show out for every episode, like we showed up and showed out for Black Panther. Every right. week is going to be a Black Panther premiere for me.
Right.
It is. That's just how I'm going to do. I don't know about y'all. But I know that I'm going to Black Panther premiere every week. So if I have to dress up in my home, y'all know I don't go anywhere. Y'all know I'm sick. Like y'all know that all I do is stay at home. So if I have to do that for 30 minutes on a Sunday for the next several weeks, I'll put on a wig. And I won't. I don't have any. I will put on a hat. I will. I don't know. Like I'll put on some like. Iman lipstick and some Pat McGrath like makeup and like, you know, all the black designers that I know.
Like, everything black, everything.
And all I know is I'm supporting everybody black, like black, black, black on black. and I'll just be that way for 30 minutes every Sunday, maybe even leading up to it, you know, and and then I'll just, but okay, back to the episode. Let's stop talking about me and my, you know, neuropathies. Let's get into the episode. I don't know if I want to start from the end and go back, but
yeah,
I do want to really talk about this ending of this episode. Episode number one.
It was a bit of a punch, to be honest. It was kind of like, are we gonna like not talk? Because there's two elephants in the room. It's mm-hmm. her and Molly, and mm-hmm. then her and Lawrence, and what's gonna become of their relationship? And this is something that we kind of, you know, during our snippet the 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we gave a prediction, like, what do we think was going to happen? And essentially it happened. And granted, we don't know, this isn't necessarily mm-hmm. the final say, because, you know, mm-hmm. we have a whole season. But yeah. at least as of right now, it's not happening.
At least as of right now, what I said was accurate.
Right.
What I said was accurate, because I'm looking at it from, I really did put myself into Issa's shoes. Like, I'm saying that if I were her, because if this was me, if this was my situation at the age I am now, like Issa's character is younger than me. And, you know, I'm older. Wait, did I say that out loud? Oh, no, you didn't hear right. No, that's not true. I'm young millennial. I'm 23. But let's just say if I were in that situation, I might behave differently, because like if I look at my life where I am right now and then this kind of happens to me, I don't know. I might behave differently. I might. But I know, and I said it and I stick to it, because I said it a few weeks ago and I've said it before. If I were her. In right. the exact situation, if my body was in there and it was a Freaky Friday situation, that I would walk away, because it's too much. It's too much. It really, really is. And I do hope I would hope, because we all, I shouldn't say we all, because I know there are other people out here for Nathan, there are other people out here for Kofi, but,
right.
But, you know, it's been Lawrence and Issa from the beginning, and you know how much I love Jay Ellis. Like, I will stalk that man, and so like I love Jay Ellis when I found out he was going to be on this show, and like my sister, I remember she's like, who is that? Because like people were all into Daniel, and I was like, y'all like Jay Ellis, because you know he was all messed up and hair looking all funky and whatnot. But I'm like, y'all don't know Blue, like. What is wrong with you guys? Y'all don't know Blue. Y'all don't know. Like I was really upset. So anyway, that's besides the point. I'm sidetracking like I like to do. But I know that if I were Issa, that wouldn't be me. I would have to walk away. And what was great about that the ending of that show is that, you know, she goes to the airport and you know she's with all of her girls. The four of them all live in the same city, so it's so interesting how they all traveled separately.
Yeah,
I mean, we know that the school paid for her travel and they set her up, and so that was really cool and everything. But even just like in arrangements on getting home, they all traveled separately. I thought that was interesting. And I mean, obviously her and Molly weren't great yet. They weren't great yet, but we'll talk about what brought them back together, because I also want to address some things that some people were saying online. But with the whole Lawrence situation, like, you know, she gets out of the airport, she walks out of the airport, and then you see Lawrence, and like, I know everybody was just like, oh my God, they stayed together. I sat there and I said, I was surprised to see him pick her up, but I'm like, yeah, nah, this isn't. And then of course, they have the whole car ride. Okay,
that was terrible. That was
tough.
I get why she didn't, but like, fam, you let him drive you all the way home,
and yo, then
delivered the bomb. Like, you couldn't have. Like, look, let's talk on the way home. How about that? At the very least. But he's kind of like just making time and like anticipating what.
Yes.
The answer might be That is a horrible drive. That is a very horrible drive.
Like y'all, you couldn't even let him in the house and sit and talk that night. You know, like it was like you just got off the plane and you're like, yeah, I didn't want to call a Lyft. Like that. essentially, he was a taxi. Right. And the best part is like he was really trying, and then you know, she says what she says, you know, Lawrence, I thought about it and I can't. And he knows, he knew it was coming. So, you know, he had to accept it. And then the best part about this whole thing, I'm going to shift to Twitter, is that people all commented, they were all saying the same thing. They're like, fam, did she really just let him drive her home, X, Y, and Z? But the best comment I saw was, so what CD do y'all think Lawrence was listening to on the drive home? And I started cracking up. So, of course, everybody is posting all this stuff. And they were like, yo, he was posting, if you think you're lonely now. Like, that's... people were vicious. I'm like, y'all are some savage MFs.
Yo, okay? Black people are hilarious online. I
love Black people Twitter. Black Twitter is the best. And they were just going so hard on like all of the songs that I just felt so bad. Then Jay Ellis actually posts on his Twitter, I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna shed a tear. I died. I literally died. I was like, so you just gonna put some Mary J on there? I couldn't. And this was just, it was feeding me, it was sending me. I was having a good day. And also, because I didn't watch it that Sunday, I had to watch it the next day. So like, as soon as I saw stuff like popping up on Twitter, I was like, absolutely not. You're not getting me. You're not screwing me over.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. So I had a good experience with that. It was hilarious, but I also want to talk about Molly and Issa here, because Molly and Issa were, you know, this is the first episode and we see that they're still having, you know, they're clearly okay, but they're weird.
Right.
They're having a weirdness on getting back to normal. And that's okay. You know, she talks to Kelly, just like you said, you know, like, you know, how long did it take for you and Tiffany to get good, whatever. And that's good. Right. And I wanted to talk about how we have a time jump to the second episode, and they're good again. So some things that I was seeing online, like people were like, what? We didn't get to see what, you know, how it got fixed and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, if you saw anything from like last season, like if you're watching the show, a storyteller doesn't have to give you step by step by step of stuff that happened. Of course, you can fill in the gaps, but if you see a fight and then you see them go into a restaurant and start talking to each other, then you know, and then the next season they're friends again, then you know that they settled stuff. You get what I'm saying?
Right. And it's not even to say that there's not potential for things to come back.
Right.
But a lot of that was even addressed in the first episode of this season because of how you can see them trying.
Yeah.
And that kind of lets you on to know that it took a year to get back.
Yeah.
So it's not, you don't necessarily have to see everything. It's like, oh, okay, this was kind of awkward for however long. They had the whole situation with, you know, the incident at the store.
Yeah.
And that led to them kind of, you know, the wall kind of coming down. And you can kind of, you know, extrapolate from there. Like, you know, they spoke and they had conversations about what's what.
Yeah.
And even then, even in the second episode, and we're going to get to that fully in a minute, mm-hmm. where it shows how they're still trying. Because even though they're hanging out, it's still like we need to work to hang out. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to, like, hey, since you're going to be over here, I got this for you, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, it makes sense because if she was over there like she was before, there was no mm-hmm. thought of having a pillow. It's like, you're just mm-hmm. here. But mm-hmm. no, I'm like, I want you to be comfortable. It's a way of showing that, hey,
Yeah.
We're still not 100,000%, but we're on an extremely healthy road. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's kind of answering your questions without drawing out the season more. Because that's what happened before, and we don't need that. We don't need that.
You don't need it because, like, this is the thing about storytelling. It's like you do that sometimes in your earlier seasons because people don't know the characters. You're getting to know them. You're getting to understand the method of storytelling. But you can't keep using that the same. I try to find the word here, but you can't keep using the exact same thing. That's how show doesn't grow. That's like watching three seasons of that horrible show Manifest. Like I don't need to see every little thing. If in one season you literally just told the person, I am dying of an alien disease, and you tell the person, and then you go to the next scene and it's like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And it's like, he just told you in the last scene. Like, why you don't have to say it again? That's like, that's soap opera, and this isn't soap opera. This is a comedy dramedy that's actually really, really good at storytelling. So we don't need that stuff. And I kind of want some people on the internet to just like kind of get more educated on the way shows work. And
speaking of that, let's address that real quick. Because that was complete
bull.
I don't even know the word.
Nazis.
Asinine.
Come on, people.
So apparently people were upset that
only Greeks.
Amanda Seals, her character, mind you, I said the word character, mm-hmm. Tiffany was rocking, you know, a Greek outfit for her fraternity.
AKA,
right? And they were upset. They were like, how come she's wearing that? She's not allowed to wear that, blah, blah, blah. And not understanding that she's playing a character. Mind you, if you've been watching the show, she let on that she's an AKA for a long time.
And forever.
A lot of the people who are AKA, who weren't commenting, actually we're proud of how she represented. She didn't do anything disgraceful. She didn't like throw the coat down and step on it, say F AKA. You know, like she didn't do any of those things. But it because it wasn't even that. They weren't complaining about misrepresentation in that sense. They were just like, "How dare you put this on when you're not one of us?" Which makes sense if someone is on maybe like social media or Instagram and they're doing this. But she's playing a character. This is not real. It's not real.
It's like, not real. And I'm sitting here like, so are you mad at Meredith Grey? Are you mad at Ellen Pompeo for playing a doctor? And we're mad at her for some other stuff. We're mad at her for trying to call out Denzel Washington. That's a totally different story. But you can't, like, I'm not going to walk up to her and be like, hey, like, I honestly am, and I know you did a thing in neuro, can you fix my brain for me? She'll be like, security, get her.
Right. Like, it's not, this is acting. This is not how they, it's not real.
People are hateful. They're just being hateful because she rocked that Gucci so well. And I know that everybody who saw her in that outfit was just like, how come I didn't think about that? Like, they're just upset that they didn't go back to their 25th or whatnot, you know, their chapters, whatever, in that outfit. Haters. Y'all are haters because that outfit was fly and that Gucci belt was everything. And I don't have money. don't have it.
It was just, it was mad asinine and just goofy as hell. And I don't, it was such a non-story. I'm like, why are we even tweeting? Like, put your phone down. Go sit in timeout.
Internet timeout.
Go sit in timeout. Go touch grass, as they say. Like, just get out and realize that you just stepped into some goofiness. And you know what? Let me wipe this goofiness off of me. Let me just, you know what? My fault. I shouldn't have been tweeting. You know, I had a little bit to drink and I just wasn't. Actually, it's her fault. She talked me into, like, that's what you need to do.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Get it together. That was whatever. Anyways, going back to the show. It was good to see them do that. And, you know, hilarious when they were with their friend and, you know, they get robbed.
Cheyenne or whatever.
Yeah, Cheyenne. And she is apparently in on it. And the guy, you know, robs them and, you know, takes their shoes and all this other stuff. And, you know, they're like crying and screaming and all this other stuff. And then the guy's like, would you shut up, Cheyenne? He says her name. And they're like, wait, hold up. Wait, you know each other? And she's like, oh, my fault. Like, yeah, we're robbing you. And it's like, really? Like, that's, wow. Okay. It's
like, she took her shoes.
And then wouldn't take Issa's. That was hilarious.
Okay, and
that was great.
It was so good. It was so ridiculous. I'm so mad. I'm so mad that this girl did this. And I love how Issa was like, I just remembered I don't like her. And because you know, you can't remember stuff all the time, but when you haven't seen somebody in 10 years or 20 or however long it's been, but so like
I don't trust that. Her.
That joke was exactly. That joke was so funny. And then they get in the car and they're laughing about it. And people still have the nerve to sit there and question, oh, what happened? How are they back to good? They just got robbed together. They just went through a very life-altering situation where they were very scared for like, you know, 40 seconds. Yeah. And then they laughed about it because it reminded them of all their antics. I actually made a post online. I was like, look, it's clear that they're getting back to Malibu. You know, they're getting back to Malibu because they're able to do, they just, you know, like you don't need everything spelled out for you. Just kind of accept the art for what it is. We went through a whole season of like a lot of things that didn't happen in season 4. A lot of things didn't happen, but the fashion and the music were on point. But a lot of story was just like, huh? You know, okay.
Right.
We're getting lapses that are easily filled here with just understanding how life works. And you know, I really appreciated the first episode. I liked the flow. Again, like it wasn't like this big episode, except we're really happy for Issa that she has started her company, Blow CC. And she doesn't know what the hell she's doing, which a lot of people have, you know, start a company and be like, oh my God, is this actually working? And, you know, she's like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have put that much money into that graphic because that logo is not, you know, and so like we see that from last season that she's definitely moved forward in her life. And I think going back to what I was saying, how she was just getting her stuff together and she was going to, you know, she found out the direction she wanted to go and she wanted to start a company and do this kind of stuff and curate Black art and things like that. She got that and kind of being tied down to a guy who was having a baby with a woman named Condolences. Is not
the disrespect,
not what she wanted. So I just think that episode was nice. It rocketed us forward, and I appreciate that because I didn't want to spend the first episode like with them. Or even though I kind of did want to see them like kind of chomping it out because there were things that needed to be said that I wanted to hear, but then I'm just like, we also didn't need it. So I'm happy the way the first episode went. And then of course we got the bomb drop that, you know, she wanted to break up with Lawrence.
Right.
So is there anything else you want to add on episode 1, or we want to go like right into episode 2? Cause there's some things about that I really want to hit on episode 2.
Nah, episode 2. I like, so episode 2, jumping a year ahead, we see that Issa is doing well and mm-hmm. she's gotten, you know, it seems like she does like consulting in a way, but she gets mm-hmm. clients that need help with funding and she finds the companies that would do the funding and she kind of pairs them up. And so she's doing really well with her company now, mm-hmm. or at the very least has gotten to the point where she is like in a respectable position mm-hmm. within her company in a sense that like, oh, okay, you have a goal and you know where mm-hmm. to go. There's no more mm-hmm. guesswork, but there is, she's still on the, kind of like on the lower tier of things, mm-hmm. Which kind of manifests in this episode based mm-hmm. on a client that kind of goes left, you know, when they have like a fashion mm-hmm. show. But before we get to that, we also see Molly who's cut her hair, which, you know, signifies transformation, mm-hmm. signifies change. Mm-hmm. And we see that she's
letting go.
Right. Letting go of, you know, hopefully a lot of pettiness. And we see how she is, I don't want to say taking accountability, she's being more accountable. But it kind of seems like she is reflecting more on like what has happened up until this point. And how did we get here and why and what we're doing. And so you kind of see Molly doing better in her job, getting along with people a little bit more. You see her getting along with her parents a lot more, which is great. You see her, even though her mom is trying to hook her up with everybody under the sun, one of the funniest scenes was with her and Issa. And she's like, you know, my mom keeps, you know, sending pictures of this guy. And she's like, well, show him to me. And she shows her the phone. And Issa's like, oh, his dad is cute. Show me him.
And, that is the Molly, best line.
Molly is like just staring at her. And she's like, okay, his dad is cute. Show me him. Show me him, Molly.
Show me him. Show me him. His daddy cute. Show me him. He's really upset.
She was like about to getting ready to cry. Like, don't do this to me. That's not him, right? I felt. Oh man, that was rough.
When you feel so bad for your friend, like when you're like, this isn't funny.
It's like oh damn, like just oh, okay, I get what you're saying now. I got you. Yeah, that was great. That was great. But yeah, so we see you know, and she's even though she's being a little bit more accountable and taking her life in her hands in terms of how she deals with people in different relationships, there are some you know, nagging points where it comes to her mom trying to hook her up with people, or her trying to get out and date, and how that's, you know, on the app, just her description on the dating app that she was using and how it was like extremely high maintenance sounding, although some of her things didn't sound that bad to me. Like, if you don't want someone that doesn't have any kids, I'm not mad at that.
But, yeah.
You know, we just talked about Issa. Anyways, but there were some things where she kind of reflects on her previous relationships and how they've gone left and how majority of the leftness has been her.
Andrew. And, oh my God. I'm sorry, you were fine, and I was like,
did you get all sultry all of a sudden?
Like, how you let Andrew get away? Oh my God!
Oh my goodness! Speaking of that, yeah, like this show could be nicknamed awkward because, good grief, there were so many parts in this episode where I had to pause it and like just look away, like. And just pretend like somehow if I was a part of the scene, I'm no longer part of the scene. Like, I kind of just got up and walked away from the table with these people. Like, from the dude when her mom, like Molly's mom, tried to hook her up, and like he's like, I remixed trap music into Christmas song. And like, and honestly, I've heard some of that. Like, that's not what we do. Like, it's not what people do. They don't remix. Anyways, it was just mad awkward right there where he found the music. And I was like, this is... Fam, you can't. And then he was raising the roof. How old are you? Oh my gosh! Like,
clearly 45,
right? And then Issa was like, you know, meeting with because she had, you know, a client, and the people that she was working with, the company that she was working with that was going to fund his show, were kind of weary of it because he didn't have, you know, as much experience as they would like. So she wanted to talk to the boss of the boss. And that boss called the boss that she was having a problem with. And so they all came to the table. That was mad.
So wrong. That's so wrong.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, why would you do that? That was, yeah. And so, but it was at the same time, it was kind of like, you kind of knew this was going to happen because you're going a roundabout way. It was going to get back to him somehow. Right?
Yeah.
And you had to face him eventually. So at the very least, let's have it all out on the table. But when he sat down, I was like, oh my God. I had to pause it. I had to be like, oh, wow. 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 Like, her face is how I felt.
Yes.
The face Issa was making was how I felt in that moment.
I just love how she goes, like, you know, they're like, we don't have money. And she's like, but we ordering steaks. Like, she can't help herself. She cannot help herself from these comments.
But it'd be true, though. It's like what you're thinking
so
is like,
right.
For real? Like,
and she says it out loud.
It's just casually, like we just eating steak like every day. Like steak? If you could just, okay, you know, a steak a day, you'll keep the anyways. So
yeah.
So yeah, a lot of cool stuff in this episode. One thing I had beef with was how they portrayed her artist, the client that she was working with,
Crenshaw,
and how he kind of treated her towards the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling it.
No, me neither.
So they kind of paint the picture. They agreed to do the show with him. He's going to do like a fashion show, and he has all these things he wants to talk about in terms of being an ex-con and all this other stuff. And Issa's like, they had some points. They want to take out some things, remove some things from your show. Now, his stance on not wanting to remove certain elements of his show, I 100% agree with.
Fine.
The problem is that they kind of shook on it. She was like, okay, we're going to take these things out. He's like, all right, let's get it. And 5 minutes before the show, he switches. And he's going to put them back in. And he makes it to seem like you know, you're not really there for me. You're a sellout because you just want to please these people as opposed to believing in my, you know, my vision or whatever. And that's not the case.
Nope.
The problem isn't even her believing in your vision. The problem is how you left her hanging. Because what you're saying is my art is so important that if you get fired, if you get ruined for this, it's okay. As long as I get my information out, or I get my stuff out the way I want to, it's okay.
Yep.
Because then he's like, you know, you weren't there for me, or you're not all the way there for me. You're like half and half or whatever. It's like, you didn't give her an option. If you'd have stood your ground and said, no, we're not taking these things out. And then Issa was like, we got to walk away. That would have been one thing.
Yeah.
But if he's like, we're standing my ground, I'm standing my ground. And Issa's like, I'm with you. Let's not say anything. Let's just do it. And we'll deal with the repercussions later. Those are two different options. You didn't give her neither. You said you were going to do it and then backed out at the last minute and then expect Issa to be okay with it when her name is attached to this too? Like, that's not cool. And then the fact that the story plays out and it works also irked me. Because
yeah, that irked me.
I wanted to be like, and granted, this is not to say that the episode was bad. But what I'm saying is that I was mad with his character because you trampled on someone who worked really hard to get you to where you were.
Yeah.
And you didn't give them the opportunity to actually be with you.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to switch it up at the last. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew. And he didn't tell her just so she wouldn't say anything or didn't try, you know, try to stop him. But I don't even think she would have. If you'd have called her the next day and been like, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I think Issa would have been like, all right, at the very least, let me find a new client or I'm rolling with you. But give her the option. Don't just leave her hanging like that. Like that.
It's not how we right. Rock. Yeah, that's not how we roll.
That's trash.
It's trash on so many levels because if there were contracts signed, it's like, first of all, she went into an agreement with him. We all saw them shake hands. That's an agreement in many states. Right. Okay. That's binding. And if she had a contract with the water company or whatever they were, bottled water, I don't know what they really were. But if they signed papers, if they signed stuff. And the fact is that the person that she's managing, because in this situation, she's bringing them an artist. So she's somewhat of a manager and she's responsible for bringing them the talent and they have a financial contract with her. And then he goes rogue. What if she ends up responsible? She would end up responsible. Let's just say that she could get sued. And then her only recourse would be to sue him because he didn't fill his end of the bargain with her, but he's a struggling artist. Right. So where will she be recouped? And I'm saying this because I've actually watched this on like those judge shows. I've literally seen this happen on those judge shows and, you know, outside of me formerly being a paralegal, like, and you working in this industry. Like not necessarily fashion industry, but working with freelancers.
Right.
Like that's crazy. And it really bothered me because of the simple fact that it worked. And in the end, he got to get away with it because I didn't like the fact that he called her a sellout and he said all these things to her. And with him actually coming out on top in the end, made the actual public, like us real people, were actually saying, oh, she was selling out. So I watched Wind Down and, you know, the question was asked, and, you know, she's, you know, and Issa's defending herself and saying, you know, I don't think that Issa was being a sellout, because the truth is she wasn't. She was trying to get this underfunded, awesome artist funding. And if a group of white people don't want an artist coming out on stage and saying, are all my invisible niggas dead? That's right. Kind of understandable. Okay. So that's not selling out. That's me saying, let me alter what I've got going on here so that I can get this money. I don't think that that's really selling out. That's just, let's choose to kind of gear what, like tailor what we do. That's it. It's just like going on the Oscars and using a radio edit of your Oscar winning song without the words, without the curse words. Okay.
Right. It's not even, cause here's the thing. Like the idea that, because it came down to money even, cause they painted to say like you're a sellout in how you're handling it, but it actually came down to money. They didn't think that you could potentially pull off everything that you were trying to do because you're new. That's not anything different than anybody else. Like in terms of, you know, they didn't give Beyonce the biggest stage in the world when she first came out.
Oh.
Like you're new. You might not sell tickets. It's like, just, you know what I'm saying? Like you might not sell your merchandise. There's a potential there because people don't know you, like talking about.
Yeah.
The fact that you are a local artist, you're not a worldwide renowned whoever, means that there are some risk involved and these people are putting up the money. And so if what your message is so important to you, then don't work with them.
Don't work with them. Find somebody else.
Exactly. You don't have to be treacherous in order to get your message out. If one person was interested in you, that means someone else could be interested. And maybe that particular person, we just saw this with Squid Game. The guy who wrote Squid Game had shopped it around to different places that turned him down until Netflix was like, okay.
And
that's how that works. And it's not even the fact that they, you know, because people are like, you know, I bet they're kicking themselves. Probably not. If you think about the time that he was doing it, it was 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Squid Game might not have worked 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It might not have worked. We're in COVID now, and people are watching way more than they did in 2011.
Yeah. I still can't believe the amount of people who are actually watching foreign language stuff that literally wouldn't before.
There was a whole thing with Parasite winning best film that people lost their minds because of subtitles.
Thank you.
So the idea that, like, what I'm trying to paint the picture is, because there's inherent risk with a lot of, you know, dealing with other people's money, there might be some caveats. There might be some compromise that needs to be made. And it's understandable because they don't know if you're going to sell. And it's not to say that we don't believe in your vision. Your vision could be great and still not sell. We've seen plenty of good things not sell. Plenty of good, you know, whether it's movies, like movies that are done really well, but they still flopped at the theater. Like critically acclaimed films that flopped. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have a good vision and still flop. So it makes sense. But the fact that they decided to not use a bigger artist and use you means that they like what they saw. So maybe next time, if it goes well, you could do even bigger next time. But regardless of what you decide, if you decide not to go with them, if you decide to wreck the show, at least tell your partner who's going to be partially liable for you. Like, that was just,
it was trash.
We would have to square up. That's it.
I would drop him.
That's what we're doing? Okay. We are fighting now. You know, you can still do the show, but you probably shouldn't speak to press because you're going to have black eye. That's what's going to happen. That's not how you just don't do people like
that. You don't do that. That's not cool. You made an agreement. And that's why I liked it when Issa stood up for herself and said, she's like, but we're a team and you can't just go rogue. That's not fair to me. And then he had the nerve to talk. Like, I would drop him. I'd be like, you're a liability to me. And it's sad because he made so much money, but that's when you like, these are decisions that you make. If it's going to end up about money and your art, like like you said, he could have made the decision to walk away because they weren't supporting his art vision fully.
Right.
And she can make a decision to walk away because even though he is going to be bringing in a hefty price, like he's going to be making money. If people want him, it's going to be great, but he's not a good person to work with.
He's not.
It, come on, I'm going to compare this to Chris Brown. There was a period of time everybody wanted him, right? But then he was busting up the ABC studios. He's a right. liability. So like you have to make a choice on, you know, who you're going to end up working with. And if somebody is going to treat you, it's supposed to be a partnership, and they're going to treat you like trash, then, you know, and that this is part of running your own business. And this is obviously something that she's learned, or maybe she's even experienced, and or maybe she's just experiencing it now. But I did have this little souring taste in my mouth when the fact that it actually did go well, because I don't want Issa to have to question herself if she sold out, for two reasons, not just her character, because, you know, she's already having those issues of, is she doing the right thing and kind of stuff like that. But then also as Issa, the writer, the creator of the show, even in the beginning of making her show, having to grapple with the idea that you can't have an all black show without having white people in it. And yeah. So I feel like that kind of it's representing itself now and it's an actual topic in the show, when before it wasn't in the show, it was outside of the show.
Right.
And I just hope that, because I know that these are questions that people ask, you know, when it comes to like art and selling out and stuff like that. And I'm like, I think the term selling out really does mean something different. And it's, even though, yes, she did ask him to compromise his vision for money, it's just like that. That's reasonable. It's not like she's asking him to compromise forever. It was just this one time, just exactly as to why you said the reasoning, because you said so. People, stop trying to. I'm not saying you're not a star.
Words that they don't know. They don't know the word, what the words mean. That's what it means. People need a dictionary. The sellout is the you selling of yourself.
Yeah,
a lower image of yourself, or essentially could be what he did. He sold her out for money, potential exactly. money that he could make. I don't care what happens to her. Yeah. As long as I can do what I need to do. That is what is, that's potentially that's, selling yeah. out. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Or, you know, I know there was a episode of the Wayans where one of the brothers got hired to be on a commercial, and mm-hmm. the commercial was about an alcohol beverage, and mm-hmm. he made himself look so coonish mm-hmm. that his family was like, I can't believe you did this. Like, that is selling out. Mm-hmm. Like, you're making us look bad. But mm-hmm. in terms of, because remember in the episode, they didn't say not to have black people. They didn't say mm-hmm. not to talk about, you know, convicts, or have like mm-hmm. urban wear, you know, because he had like, you know, flags and stuff, like bandanas and things of that nature. So like there's, and where they are, you know, wearing all red and all blue might not be a good mm-hmm. idea. Right. So they didn't say that should change his vision. They said that mm-hmm. we can't have a whole band. We can't have people in low ride, you know what I'm saying? Low ride bikes and all this other stuff. Not because it looks bad. They didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. They cared about how much money it was going to cost.
Yeah.
And then
if
he's not the only person on the show, if he's part of a lineup, and they
promise
these people, right. Mm-hmm. There's time that they promise these people. They allotted money to other artists that you just sucked up now. That's happened to me when I was in college, actually, mm-hmm. where we were allotted, and it's not in the same sense, but like in my sculpting class, we were allotted a certain amount of material to use to make our sculpture, mm-hmm. and that someone took all of it, and we had to go and actually purchase some of it, which hurt our, you know, our final projects, because we didn't have the money. This is why it was being offered to us by our professor. Like, hey, I know this is mad expensive. What we're working with, this type of mesh, this type of material, is hard to come by. So I'm going to offer. You guys only get this amount. And this person was like, well, my vision, I'm taking it all. And it was like screwing all of the other students. Like, there was really like,
not cool.
Just, people are just really like not jerky. Cool. And then try to hide it behind a vision. Like, that's
don't screw over your partner. At the end of the day that's the moral. That's just not cool. Don't screw over your partner. Don't screw over other black people like that. It's a whole episode of Grown-ish on that. Don't do that.
exactly. Beyond that though, a lot of good stuff.
There was a lot of good stuff. I want to touch on this Issa and Molly thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's important that we talk about, obviously, you know, Lawrence is trying to move on. And that was funny because the internet was like, why are you dating when you have a whole baby?
And I mean,
I just thought that was funny. I'm like, well, I mean, he having a baby shouldn't stop him from dating, you know, because it shouldn't. So anyway, but that was funny. And then so Issa is obviously, you know, kind of out here doing her thing. And then, you know, Nathan's around and she's not necessarily trying to date Nathan, but he's there. He's her friend. He's supportive. And she's still and she enjoys his company and he enjoys hers. And but before we go to Nathan, Issa and Molly hanging out, like you were saying about the pillow, it was right. So cute to see them at home, just at Issa's, having a good time and kind of getting back to themselves and, you know, just being friends. It's just, it's always been about Issa and Molly from jump, you know, right. It really, really has. And, you know, they're the relationship. I don't want to say that they're a relationship that, that is, I don't want to say it's the most important, but the bond that women have as friends is extremely important to talk about because that's the support bond. The relationship with Lawrence is a romantic relationship. And these are all things that young people navigate, but support, like you can't have anything in life without support. So the supportive bonds are actually the most important. They're kind of how the story is able to move. If you don't have support, then, you know, what are you going to have? Like, come on, I was watching Hunchback of Notre Dame. There would be no Esmeralda and Phoebus from the movie because we all know that the real story doesn't go that way. But right. There would be no Esmeralda and Phoebus if Quasimodo didn't support them in the end. Like, he saved Esmeralda because he loved her, but he let that go so that she could be with Phoebus. You know, and that was even... Anyway, well, I won't go there. The point is... support relationships and these women support each other. So it was so nice to see them back together. Right. And so the whole thing where, you know, Molly's fallen asleep and she's like, come on, let's go night, night, you know, let's go to bed. And it's so cute. You know, they get in the bed, just like buddies always do. Like, I mean, come on, we've always done that as girls always did that from like college. It's just so much fun. And you have your little slumber party. And she's like, oh, I got you a pillow. And she's like, wait, what? You got me a pillow? Like, that's so sweet. Oh, my goodness. And just like you were saying, like, before it would have been, before their fight, it would have been like, there's a pillow here.
Right.
You know? Or it would have been like, bitch, I ain't got no pillow for you. Come on. You know, like, it would have been a given.
It shows but effort.
Effort, right? And then this time, she's like, oh, I got you a pillow. And she's like, oh my God, you care about me. And then she's like, nah, ho, you was just denting up my other pillow and I couldn't sleep on it no more. So I got you another one, which is really cute because I actually had something like that with my sister when she used to come and visit me from, you know, Connecticut. And I was like, she's like, do you have any pillows? I was like, I don't have any more pillows. I actually like went and got more pillows because she was visiting. So anywho, I thought that was great. And remember that they fell asleep facing each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, facing each other is an intimate love. It's a love. Like they always say the positions of sleeping, if your backs are to each other, there's issues there. If you're a spoon, then you're very, you know, romantically in tune. And if you face each other, it's just love. That like, there's a lot of love there.
I'll put a caveat. If you've been married for some time,
mm-hmm.
At some point, you just want to get to sleep. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That is so true. And sometimes your legs are off the bed. So
right. Like, it's cute until your arm falls asleep and you can't move it. And just want to throw that out there. If anybody's like, well, I turn my back. Well, just don't. You're okay. You're okay.
You're okay.
We're just saying.
You know, some doctors apparently did some studies, but they're all wrong. So, anyway, they fall asleep facing each other and it's really nice to see their bond. Now, when Issa reaches out to Nathan, to have him come over because, you know, she's kind of feeling like she want, you know, Nathan's been a good friend to her. He really has. Right. And their friendship is, I actually enjoy their relationship, and I enjoy the fact that he was able to talk to her about his mental illness and all that kind of stuff. And there was support there, and I appreciated it. And they've clearly been helping each other. So, you know, when he's kind of like saying, you know, I should go, and she's like, why don't you spend the night? Obviously, she's lacking something, and she thinks that she can kind of fill that with him because they are so close. And so when she wants this to turn romantic, and obviously she breaks down, at first it's just funny because, come on, Issa, like, she just right. makes us laugh all the time. But then you realize, like, she's really suffering here. This isn't just one of those funny cries. Like, she's actually really in pain. And Nathan doesn't know what to do with this, because I'm assuming, like, through their friendship that they've had over the last, you know, this unseen year that we haven't gotten a glimpse into, that they've supported each other in a way that hasn't crossed that line.
Right.
And he's also been seeing other people. And, but, you know, that it's clear that he still has some feelings for her, but this is out of whack. I don't think he knew how to be supportive for her in this moment. He didn't know what to do, because I think he was a little confused. Like, she's the one who asked him to stay. She's the one who wanted him to sleep over. And then now she's crying, and he's like, he doesn't know what's going on here. And you know, he does leave. But I want to point out that when Issa and Molly fell asleep in the bed and they were facing each other, Issa and Nathan did the same thing. Molly stayed. Nathan left. And I think that also solidifies again what we are talking about in this show about Molly and Issa's relationship. It's always been about them. It's always been about women supporting each other and this bond between two Black women. And about, you know, like, I know a lot of people are just like, especially, you know, we're young, we're women, whatever. And we're like, oh my God, you know, we want to see her with him. First of all, Issa is so lucky. She has dated like the flyest guys. Now, she dated some rats too, because that dude who lives in the apartment, come on, man. I mean, mind you, that wasn't dating. That was just hooking up when she was on her rotation. But like, come on, these dudes are tens. She got Lawrence. She got Nate. She got Daniel. Like, come on, these dudes look amazing. Are they worth shit? Like, I mean, that's another story. But like, like, she really, really needed intimacy. She needed someone to truly be there. And she's going through something where she realizes she's not really ready to move on. And Nathan could only provide her with so much that, like, and there's like a boundary that he couldn't cross, and he left. So with her waking up and realizing that he didn't stay, I kind of think that that's very telling on the direction we're going. And also, he didn't ask for this. He didn't come to Issa needing her to fulfill something, like a hole in him, whereas Molly actually needed Issa. Like, why Molly gonna leave in the middle of the night? It's not like she got to go work on her 7 million projects like she was doing when she was with Andrew. Oh, I got to work right. on something, but we'll go. And then she works on projects for 12 hours, and Andrew's like, screw you, bitch, I'm going to sleep. Like, this is a situation where they're giving each other what they need. And Molly needed Issa. That Nathan, I think, was a kind of like a fish out of water in that scene. Like,
yeah,
he provided what he could, but I think he was confused as to what his role really was. And he was just like, okay, she's asleep now. I think I can go. Like, some people think it was just like, okay, well, he didn't get laid, so he left. But I just, if that ends up being what it is, then, you know, fine. But I feel like there's just a different level. Like, he was a little shocked that this happened. Yeah.
That's not the type of breakdown you would see in that predicament. It's not. If she would have did that, like, when they were drinking,
yeah,
I think it would have been a little bit easier to kind of, but like, because the signals are crossed, I don't know exactly what is going on. That would be hard for anybody. To kind of stay around, because you don't want, so like, if she's having a rough time with this, do I potentially stay and give the wrong, you know, signals to further confuse someone?
Yeah.
Like, you know, not, and not to say that she's 100% confused, but it's, it's like, I don't know my role.
Yeah.
Is it possible when we're, if she's crying before we get to this point, it's like, okay, I'm a friend. I can do this. I can do that. And it'll be helpful, but I don't know exactly why she's crying. I don't know the, where the breakdown comes in, because she's been through a lot worse than this person kind of like, you know, flipping the script on her 5 minutes prior. So to him, he's like, what are you even crying for? And it's been a year since Lawrence. So there's a lot of like just confusion going on, to where I probably would have left too. And not to say like, you can't be there for a friend, but it's like, are we friends? Like, what are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Because I'm confused. And the last thing I want to do is, you know, cause more problems. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't see it necessarily, you know, I definitely don't see it as a bad thing. And we kind of have to wait to see, like, if he's going to be weird to her, you know, later or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of, like, I if Issa's mad at him for leaving, that would be kind of rough.
That would be rough. And I think that, I actually think that there are several men who would leave, and it's, they're not jerks. These are just what you said, like men who would be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here, and I'm uncomfortable, and I'm just going to go. It's not just like, oh, I didn't get what I wanted or came for. It's more like, I think it's best for me to go because I might be causing this stress. And again, like I said, he wasn't asking for something to be fulfilled for himself. He didn't need to be there for himself. Like he wasn't asking her for anything. And so it was just like, okay, you know, I'm going to go so that she can like, you know, deal with whatever it is that she needs to deal with without me. Whereas like what that's different than what was going on with her and Molly. But like, I agree. If Issa's upset with him in a way, then I would kind of be a little upset with her, because that's a push and pull on him. Like, we've already gone through the situation where it seemed like they were getting closer, you know, when back in the, was it season four when he was, I think, it was season four, because Molly was getting pissed off as she was talking to him again. And he was, when he told her that he had bipolar disorder and all that kind of stuff, and they were having fun with the brooms in the closet. Like, that was so, I love that. And, you know, she like, that was all like riffs. It was like Issa riffs. Like, they brooms in the closet. I got names for them and stuff. Like, get out of here. But it's kind of push and pull, because like, he kind of thought that they were getting to this place where they could get back together. And then she's like, I'm going to get back with Lawrence. And he's like, what? So then here we are, you know, she's broken up with Lawrence. Like, and remember, he said, he told her, he was like, nah, man, you know, Lawrence is bad news, that, that, that. Now she's broken up with Lawrence. A year's passed, and they're hanging out, and they clearly have something between them, even though they're not crossing that line. And then here they are crossing the line, and then this happens, and he walks away. So I would be disappointed if she was upset with him, because I, she's the one giving him mixed signals. And if I were him, I would be over it.
Yeah. Or at the very least be like, you know, maybe in a moment of clarity, be like, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
I can better navigate. If it's something where it's like, we just want to stay friends and help each other. Cool. I know what not to cross. When you say stay over, then I will stay on the couch.
Couch. Even,
Or just not stay. But, because I honestly don't think if she would have made it clear, like I said earlier, before they got to that point, that he would have had a problem staying. It's just, if I don't know what's going on, I'm not trying to go down this road.
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
I my own directions.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it's
going around in circles and stuff. So,
give me a map.
Yeah. All in all, solid two episodes of Insecure. If you don't have HBO, definitely go check that out. And not just this season, but all the seasons. And, you know, so you can kind of, you know, you want to go in order and whatnot. But definitely check it out. Very, very good show. I'm happy that, you know, Issa Rae is doing so well and that she's getting picked up for different things. I think she has another show that's supposed to be coming to HBO as well.
Yeah.
After this one, and, you know, being in film and everything. It's just a lot of great, great things from, you know, someone who just doing things on YouTube and kind of got picked up. I'm not sure how exactly that went. So I might have made that seem less complicated than it is. But I remember, you know, her doing things on YouTube and eventually, you know, transitioning over to HBO. Mm-hmm. So shout out to her. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Definitely. But yep. That being said, that is our show for today. Thank you for hanging out with us. Appreciate your time. Feel free to, if you're listening on YouTube at United Front Gaming, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content we have coming. And if you're listening on all the other DSPs, whether it's Spotify or Steezer or Stitcher, I mess up the names all the times. Deezer, Google Podcasts, all those different places, and Verbal now. We're also on Verbal. Shout out to them. Feel free to follow and to add us to your RSS feed so you're up on the new contents in these, you know, situations. Or you could just go to Audioboom. Most of the links are there as well. Mm-hmm. And type in, you know, the Gamecast. Just put dots between the G, A, M, and E. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow us there, the Gamecast 1. All right? And you should be able to find all of our content, whether we're talking about comic books, anime, manga, talking about, you know, we've been retweeting a lot of Netflix because they've been announcing things left and right. Like, for instance, Stranger Things, the last season of Stranger Things is coming out, and I think the next 2 days. So, yeah, a lot of nerd stuff.
Nerdy.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely up on that. And if you want to follow, follow me or, you know, Tess, we're also there as well on Twitter. Kenny UFG for me and Messy Tessie Bakes for Tess.
Like that,
and
I don't even know my Twitter handle. You guys know this.
You be
I'm not
there sometimes you be there.
I
sometimes.
Do. I'm there sometimes. You know, I'll scroll. I'll make some comments. You know, here and there, and that's because you guys know I'm not really good on social media anymore. Like, I used to be really into it, and then I kind of just dropped because it was distracting. But you guys also know, like, I suffered a brain injury, so like the phone and scrolling and all that kind of stuff is hard for me, and it actually makes me pretty nauseous. So, you know, gotta chomp down those anti-nausea medicines when I'm on electronics. So that's a lot.
So this, you get one like a week, folks. Just one like a week. Possibly.
Yeah.
Possible.
Not that interesting. yeah.
That's pretty much it for housekeeping.
Yeah, so this is at the point where I tell you to be kind to all your essential workers. That means grocery store people too, guys. And you know, thank you for all the front lines. You know, we're still dealing with COVID, and that person who took COVID to Tonga, I need to have words with you. And when I say words, I mean smacks, backhands across the face. Both hands. I'm very upset. Leave my Tonga people alone. Moving on. So yeah, remember to wear your masks, get vaccinated. I hope you all voted, and you know, wash your hands, wash your faces and your butts, and have a wonderful week. We will see you next week with some great topics. We've got a lot to talk about with all the new stuff that's coming out. Just to let you know, I did hear that HBO might be picking up a live action of Berserk.
Oh, wow.
I hear it in the winds. It is possible, but I don't want to get my hopes up because years ago, HBO was supposed to be picking up Monster, and that didn't happen, which was really, really sad because Guillermo del Toro was supposed to be working on that, and it would have been amazing. But, you know, they all had different projects at the same time, well, different times, and then it just never happened. And we lost Monster. So if Berserk does come, I think everybody's lives are going to change. So that's just something that I'm saying.
That is all test. I am not watching that ish.
I think they'll tone it down. But anyway, that's a conversation for another podcast. That's it. So we hope you guys have a wonderful week. We will hopefully see you next week. Bye-bye.